Put open our Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And we'll read the first 10 verses of Luke 19 to give us our story for tonight. Luke 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abram. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. We have a familiar story here in Luke 19. And perhaps you're a bit like me, and when you read that, you remember that Sunday school song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And, you know, the story of Zacchaeus is indeed a well-known Sunday school story. And yet, there is so much to learn here in this passage beyond the fact that he was a little man who climbed trees. And Zacchaeus is someone that we adults can relate to as well. And I want to see if we can learn some lessons from this little man tonight. And we can see there in verse 1 that Zacchaeus lived in Jericho, because we see that Jesus entered Jericho at the beginning of the story here. And then in verse 2, we're introduced to the man Zacchaeus. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. We know his name. We're introduced to Mr. Zacchaeus, if you like. We also see here in this verse that he was a publican, but not just a plain publican. It says there he was the chief among the publicans. So what was a publican? And just so there's no confusion, Zacchaeus didn't own a pub. To put it simply, publicans in the Lord Jesus' time were tax collectors. The tax systems of the day were complicated and elaborate. And when a strong political power conquered a country, they generally farmed out tax collection privileges to contractors, if you like, who took on the job of then employing local citizens and to gather the taxes for the country, or the ruling country, which in this case was Rome. These tax collectors, the publicans as they're called in the New Testament, had considerable flexibility in the fees that they could set, which lent itself to corruption and resentment by the citizens of the people they were taxing. Publicans were a dreaded and much despised class among the Jews, and for good reason, really. They were often oppressive and dishonest. They are widely known for their greed of money. Their taxation programs were oppressive. A fellow called William Barclay describes the system vividly for us, and he says there was a purchase tax on all that was bought and sold. There was bridge money to be paid when a bridge was crossed, road money to be paid when main roads were used, harbour dues to be paid when a harbour was entered, market money when a marketplace was used. And it just goes on. Taxes, taxes, taxes. And so you can see how these publicans were not popular. No one trusted them. And in fact, in the Jewish society of Jesus' day, they were prohibited from testifying in a court of law. Banks disdained their business. Jews considered any sort of evasion, even outright lying, to be okay to avoid having to deal with these publicans and pay the taxes. And so we can see that these publicans were not popular people with the Jews. And often you see the Jews referring to them as sinners, Gentiles, and the rabbis of the day put them on the same level as highwaymen and murderers. This was the man Zacchaeus, and perhaps he was on a more worse level, if possible, because he was chief among the publicans. This man Zacchaeus wasn't just an ordinary publican, he was chief. He was in charge of many publicans below him. He was the chief publican, probably of Jericho and perhaps the surrounding area. And therefore, in the eyes of the Jew, Zacchaeus was probably on a level higher of the sinner level than the other publicans. And note those last words of verse 2. And he was rich. Zacchaeus was rich. He was well-to-do. He had no financial issues. He was rolling in it. So we have this man, the chief among the publicans, rich. Then we notice verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus. He was wanting to see who Jesus was. He wanted to know more about this Jesus he'd heard of. And here, as we consider what the word tells us tonight, Zacchaeus really did want to see Jesus. Now, it was probably a curiosity, but I think it was a little bit more than curiosity. And sometimes we can often see how little and how insignificant are the things that God can use to lead us to salvation or a soul to salvation. It seems that perhaps to begin with, Zacchaeus was just curious to see this Jesus he'd heard about. Just to see, who was he? Who is this man? And that's all he wanted to do, as we see it there. He just wanted to see Jesus, who he was. We must never despise the day of small things. God often chooses the weak things of this world to confound or put to shame the things that are mighty. We think of how God used the tear and the cry of a baby to move the heart of Pharaoh's daughter. He used David's little sling to overthrow the giant Philistine. He used a widow with a handful of meal to sustain the prophet Elijah. He used a small child to teach his disciples a much-needed lesson on humility. And here we see a simple curiosity as a means for reaching Zacchaeus with the message of salvation. God often uses insignificant things to accomplish his divine purposes. You know, Zacchaeus, we can ponder, may have been anxious to see Jesus. Maybe he was not happy that his practice of... Maybe Zacchaeus had a little bit of a conscience there somewhere. And perhaps his conscience was ill at ease. He had taken money that he shouldn't have taken. His riches were built upon theft, really. And maybe he was longing for something higher and nobler. Maybe he was looking, seeking something. And there's many folks out there who have tried a variety of drugs, alcohol, moral impurity, and many of them find that these lifestyles are hollow and meaningless. They sense deep down within that there's more to life than what they're experiencing. And deep, deep down inside, there's those little feelings of wanting to know more. This rich man, Zacchaeus, he wanted to see Jesus, and he earnestly sought to see him. Now, we know that Zacchaeus wasn't the first rich man to come and see Jesus. In fact, that rich young ruler sought Jesus in the chapter just before, Luke 18. And he also ran, as we read in Mark's account, in Mark 10. And he came to Jesus with a great question: what shall I do to inherit eternal life? But that rich young man went away from Jesus sorrowing, because he could not bring himself to give up his riches for Christ. And when we come to the story of Zacchaeus, he's one of the very few rich men that we read about in the Bible who were willing to put aside their riches in exchange for Jesus. And I think we can learn a very important lesson from Zacchaeus. Here is this little man who was very rich, and yet he was seeking, he was looking for Jesus. And this little rich man did not esteem his riches higher than Jesus. Zacchaeus did not allow his riches to block his opportunity to see or seek Jesus. Are we seeking Jesus like Zacchaeus was? And when we find Jesus, do we put aside our earthly treasure? Or do we hang on to them and try and add Jesus as well? You know, Zacchaeus faced more than one obstacle in trying to see Jesus. We see that in the rest of verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. We can see that Zacchaeus had a few problems. First, there was a press. There was a great crowd of people around the Lord Jesus Christ, as most of the time there was. And Zacchaeus was a little short man, and he was only able to look into the backs of those people. And perhaps there was even a bit of shunning him by the crowd. Look out, here comes that little Zacchaeus. Don't let him through. He doesn't need to see Jesus. I'd be embarrassed if Jesus saw that little thief. Why, he taxed me a whole piece of silver the other week. Press close, don't let him through. And so you can see the situation that Zacchaeus faced. He couldn't get through. He was too little. But he didn't give up. You know, I know that a lot of people often struggle with the fact that they're physically a little short of stature. And you often hear people lamenting their lack of height. You know, Zacchaeus probably often lamented his lack of height. And perhaps now, as he tried to see over that crowd, perhaps at that point, more than ever before, he wished he was 6'11" or something like that. But I think it's a benefit for us to notice that Zacchaeus didn't just stand there at the back of that crowd and curse the fact that he was short. The reality is that the bodies we have is what God has given us, and we can't change that. Yet a lot of people spend a lot of money trying to do that, trying to change who they are. And I think we're wasting our time and effort stressing about something that we are and we can't change. And it's interesting to notice that we're given this physical description of Zacchaeus. He was little of stature, a little man, not very tall. But have you ever noticed that there's no place in the Gospels that we have a physical description of our Lord Jesus Christ? We're not told what Jesus looked like. The Bible doesn't tell us if he was short or tall, whether he was dark or blonde. The Bible doesn't tell us anything about the physical appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that might have been purposely planned by God. For if Jesus was said to be tall, dark and handsome, those that are short, skinny and homely looking would feel like they're unchristlike. If Jesus was said to be blue-eyed and blonde, then those people who are dark-haired and ruddy-faced would think there's something wrong with them. There's no emphasis on Jesus' physical appearance. And often you hear some strange ideas. I need to do this because this is what Jesus did when he was here on earth. I think it's wise that God didn't tell us what the Lord Jesus Christ was like. These things aren't important. We don't need to look like Jesus physically. We don't need to live like Jesus did physically in the physical things. These things sidetracked us from the real thing that we need to focus on, which is the spiritual side of it. We need to be like Christ spiritually. We need to be like him in his characteristics and who he was. And we don't need to waste time stressing about what we look like, how big or small you are. God loves us how we are. And it doesn't matter if we're short, tall, fat or skinny, beautiful or plain. God loves us all equally. And notice that Zacchaeus didn't waste much time on this. He didn't stand there crying because he couldn't get through the crowd. Verse 4, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Zacchaeus didn't stand there trying to work out whether he'd dive through the legs of the crowd or climb over the top. He ran. And he ran perhaps around the side block, up the street, raced around. Somehow he knew which way Jesus was going. And he climbed up into a sycamore tree, for Jesus was going to pass that way. The sycamore tree has lots of low horizontal branches, and it's an easy tree to climb. But we see here that Zacchaeus was so anxious to see Jesus that he literally went out on a limb to see him. He shot up that tree. And then he had a clear line of vision for Zacchaeus. No tallest man could block his view now. He rose above the crowd and he could see Jesus clearly. It placed him in the right position for the invitation that would follow. You know, for us, this sycamore tree is a symbol for us of that place in our lives which enables us to have a clear vision of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Zacchaeus looked foolish that day, and the crowd was quick to judge him. But it didn't matter to Zacchaeus, and it shouldn't matter to us. In fact, part of the walk of our faith is to look foolish. But sometimes we're not willing to look foolish in the crowd just to see Jesus. But we need to be willing to be foolish to see Jesus. Paul reminded the Corinthian Christians in his first letter, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." You know, the Corinthian believers lived in a city that prided itself on its great accomplishments. It was also drunk on its own debauchery. The early followers of Christ in Corinth could not fit in if they were genuinely following Christ. They had to be willing to look foolish, to look different. And in our day and age in which we live, we have a similar problem. We live in Corinth, where everything goes. Anything is good. Whatever you want, you can do it. Sin is okay. Living holy isn't okay. That's the culture we live in, just like the Corinthians did. And in the midst of a culture that has seemingly forgotten God, we're called to live differently. We're called to stand out and look like a fool climbing a sycamore tree to see Jesus. Zacchaeus, as chief tax collector, perhaps we're not told how old he was. Perhaps he was well into his 50s. We're only guessing, though. But a person of his age, perhaps, and his status in the community, doesn't just go and climb a tree for no good reason. You know, Zacchaeus wasn't worried about his pride. He wasn't trying to look good that day. He had no thought for what people thought. We should not be afraid of climbing a sycamore tree to see Jesus. We shouldn't be afraid of what the crowd will say. we should climb a tree if we can see Jesus that way. I love verse 5, and it says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up." He looked up. Jesus came along to the place, and he looked up and saw him. He saw Zacchaeus. We can almost imagine that moment in our mind's eye. This little publican in a tree, out on a limb, the Son of God comes, stops and looks up. And the eyes of a sinner and the eyes of the Lamb of God meet, and their gazes are locked. You know, Zacchaeus climbed into a tree to see Jesus, but Jesus saw him. Little did Zacchaeus think that Jesus would cast his eyes up to him. Perhaps he thought he would just watch him walk unawares. But Jesus stopped and looked up. And I think, as we consider our Lord Jesus Christ and the fact he was God, I think here we see a unique situation. There was divine power in Christ's look that day to change the heart of him who he looked upon. The Lord Jesus could heal disease by someone simply touching the hem of his garment, the very edge of his garment. There's no doubt that he could change a heart with the glance of his eye. I think at this point, as Jesus stopped and looked up, Zacchaeus' heart was changed by the love of Christ. Zacchaeus, before this moment, was a mere stranger to Christ. Zacchaeus sought to see who he was, but Christ looked at him. Christ's healing look. And he converted Zacchaeus that day. How many hearts have been changed by a gospel sermon? Who never went to hear the preacher for that design or that desire? God can change the heart when the heart is ready. You know, Jesus knew Zacchaeus. He called him by name and said unto him, "Zacchaeus." He didn't have to be introduced. This look was a look of love, grace and mercy. And he looked up at him and loved him and was gracious to him and compassion on him. He looked on him. He looked up to Zacchaeus. Is Jesus passing through our lives? Are we looking for him? Are we seeking him out? Are we allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to be in our life, in our workplace, in our relationships, in our families? Are we running to meet and seek the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are we afraid? Or are we wondering if we should? You know, we should climb that sycamore tree to see Jesus, because he will look at us. He comes to seek and to save that which is lost. He knows your name. He knows you by name. And he will come into the hearts of all who let him in. And when we see Jesus in our lives, we're invited to exercise our faith and choose him and change our lives forever. You know, praying is not about getting God to do what we want. It's about communicating with him and in him, and then abiding in him in that love that he has. You know, the rest of that verse, Lord Jesus Christ says, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. You know, Zacchaeus came down that tree a different man than when he went up. Zacchaeus went up that tree a selfish, rich man, willing to rip the last cent off any person he could. When he came down that tree, he was willing to be generous and poor, He wanted to give half his goods to the poor. He wanted to repay everybody he'd cheated four times what he owed them. That was a tax refund and a half. You know, Zacchaeus not only looked into the eyes of Lord Jesus Christ that day, but in that tree he heard the call that would forever change his life. Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And this is the only time that we read of the Lord Jesus Christ inviting himself to somebody's house. And there's a fair amount of emphasis on the words, I must abide at thy house. The Lord Jesus Christ wanted to enter Zacchaeus' house. And what was Zacchaeus' response? His response was immediate and swift. And he made haste and came down. You can imagine him getting down that tree as quick as he could. Maybe he scunned himself. He didn't stop to think. He just got down. No, he didn't stop and think, to my house, did I get the dishes done this morning? Did I get the table cleared? When did I last vacuum the floor? Did the kids put away those toys that were on the lounge room floor? No, Zacchaeus didn't think about any of that. He made haste and he came down and received him joyfully. And so it should be with us. When God's call is heard in our heart, we have one choice, to respond without reserve. Respond swiftly, and the joy will come. Just like Zacchaeus, Jesus wants to visit us today. He has no requirements for us before he comes to visit. We don't have to make everything right before he comes. We don't have to fix up everything before letting him in. He already knows who we are. He knows what shape our house is in, our heart is in. And he wants to be there anyway. His presence alone and his love for us will lead us to change things and do things we never thought we could do. I'm sure Zacchaeus, when he went up that tree, never thought about giving away his money to the poor. Never thought about repaying the people he'd robbed. And yet, after that look and his heart changed, Zacchaeus was a different man. He lived a different life after this encounter with Jesus. If we have the same call from the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're willing to let him in, our lives can change too. You know, Zacchaeus didn't let anything stop him from seeing Jesus that day. Instead of going home when an obstacle was there in his way, Zacchaeus kept going and he ran and he climbed the tree. He had to run. He had to climb a tree. He had to physically exert himself to see Jesus. It took an effort for Zacchaeus to get where he wanted and get to see Jesus. And he found out who Jesus was. He really did. Have you ever noticed the great lengths to which people will go when they want to do something? When you really want to do something, if someone's determined to be somewhere and do something and they really want to do it, nothing's going to stop them from getting there and doing it. And often we will have something we want to do and we'll find a way to get it done, no matter what. We'll go around those obstacles. We'll do anything to achieve that goal. And yet sometimes when it comes to a meeting with Jesus, we avoid that time. We find an excuse. Zacchaeus didn't find an excuse. He just worked his way around it. He didn't worry about, my friends might laugh at me. I'll look like a fool if I climb that tree. Often we feel like that when it comes to meeting Jesus. I don't feel like going to church tonight. I'm too tired. Got too much on this week. I can't go to the prayer meeting midweek. It interrupts my time, my plans. We always have excuses to avoid Jesus, the one who died for us. When we're unrepentant sinners, we have excuses to avoid Jesus. as children of God. A lot of times we have excuses to avoid seeing Jesus. How can we expect Jesus to come to our house if we avoid seeing him? We can take a lesson from Zacchaeus. He didn't let anything stop him from seeing Jesus, even though he wasn't quite sure who he was. You know, we need to hear the gospel. We need to hear what Jesus says. We need to believe it. We need to repent. We need to confess those sins. We need to follow Jesus. Zacchaeus did what was needed to be done, and he was rewarded for it. Zacchaeus gives us a wonderful example about seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. We learn from him not to make excuses and to be lazy. If you've never obeyed the gospel call, you need to do that before it's too late. Come to Jesus for that cleansing offers, and never be afraid to see Jesus and to give him the time he deserves in our lives. God has given us his word so we can study it, know it, and obey it. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And so the way to gain and strengthen our faith is to hear the word of God. You know, the crowd that day we see in verse 7, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he has gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. There was no encouragement to Zacchaeus here from the crowd. They didn't see a sinner in need of salvation. They saw a sinner that needed to be avoided, while the Lord Jesus Christ saw a sinner that needed to be saved. And we can see in the remaining verses that Zacchaeus was indeed a changed man. Verse 8, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Zacchaeus broke the mould of the normal rich man. He wasn't like the rich young ruler who went away sorrowful. Zacchaeus was willing to let go of those earthly treasures in exchange for eternal treasures. And he showed true repentance of his sins. He wanted to repay four times. He wanted to give away half his money and goods to the poor. Zacchaeus was definitely a changed man. His goals in life were suddenly different, suddenly changed. His desires in life were changed forever. His heart was new. And if there's not enough proof there, the Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 9, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." That day, salvation came to Zacchaeus, to his right to his house. Jesus, the Son of Man, his goal to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus was a poor lost man, caught up in the snare of being rich, hurting others to fill his own purse. But salvation changed that forever. A little arrogant man suddenly became a man who learned to love as God loved him. He let go of his sins, he let go of his lusts, he let go and let Jesus take over his life. And that's how salvation works. We need to let go and let Jesus take control. And so from this little man we can learn some big lessons. We need to see Jesus no matter what it takes, like Zacchaeus. We need to put our pride aside, not let a humbling experience turn us away from Jesus. We need to accept his invitation and answer his call. And we need to meet him with excitement and joy, as Zacchaeus did. We need to let him find us and change us, just as Zacchaeus was. Can we do what Zacchaeus did and seek the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what? Don't let any obstacles stop us from finding the Lord Jesus Christ. And will we allow our earthly possessions to go and replace them with Jesus like Zacchaeus did? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this account of Zacchaeus, this little man whose life was changed. And I pray that each one of us here would be willing to see you and to hear your call upon their life and their heart. And I pray that each one of us here would have experienced the salvation that God can offer us through his Son because of his sacrifice on the cross in our place to pay the debt of sin that we never could repay. And that pray that each one of us would know the joy of salvation in our hearts. And if there's any children of God here tonight who avoid seeing you, that they would be given that desire to be with their Saviour. So we just pray these things and thank you for your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.